This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. One of the major issues when it comes to education in Michigan is the EAA, the Education Achievement Authority, the new school system for Michigan's lowest performing public schools. Since last fall, 15 Detroit schools have been run under the EAA, and now there's movement in Lansing to expand the EAA and start including more underperforming schools into the authority. The State House has already passed legislation to do exactly that, despite the objections of Democrats who argue the move is premature. They want proof positive that the Education Achievement Authority really works before moving ahead to expand it. State Democratic Representative Ellen Cogan Lipton of Huntington Woods is looking for that proof. She's called for data to support claims that the EAA is indeed working. Late last month, Representative Lipton filed a Freedom of Information Act request, trying to get answers to her questions about just how successful the EAA has been so far. This week, she got some information, but not all that she had requested. Representative Lipton joins us now from Lansing. Welcome to Stateside, Representative.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So start off by telling us, what was it you were requesting in the FOIA? What were you trying to find out exactly?
Well, a number of areas. We, and really based on questions that were not answered during the very brief committee hearings. We asked for information regarding special education students. There was some disparity in numbers that were not really accounted for. We wanted information on teacher turnover. We were hearing from parents and students that many of the teachers were leaving. And students were having three, four, and five different teachers for the same class. We wanted information about the sources and dollar amount of some of the private foundation dollars that we had heard had provided additional startup funding for the EAA. We wanted information regarding qualifications and certifications of the teachers that were teaching in the EAA. And really, in large part, information that could have been provided during the public committee hearings, but simply were not.
So you didn't hear that, and you wanted to get the information, so you filed the Freedom of Information Act request, and then what happened?
Well, the initial response back that I got was that they would start assembling the documents, that they would provide them to me. The hope was that, although we didn't get these questions answered for us in the House, the hope was that I would be able to provide a lot of this information to the Senate, because that's where the bill is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they denied the request and said that if I made a what they call a good faith deposit, that they would begin assembling the documents. So I immediately did that. Then I got another response back saying that here's some of the documents, about, about 100 pages of documents, that there will be more documents forthcoming, but because of the voluminous nature of the request, I would have to pay, I think the amount was something like $2,500, $2,600,
huh.
which I immediately did. And I notified them that I was going to be doing that, so that they better start, you know, preparing the documents. They did ask for an extension. I'm hoping that the remaining documents I will have in hand by tomorrow. That's the due date.
That's the due date.
Yeah, and as they come in, I have been scanning them and putting them up on my website, because what I'm hearing is that a lot of organizations, news organizations, education advocacy groups have made FOIA requests and have been blocked by being charged very, very high fees. And it's had a huge chilling effect in the ability of people to get documents.
And as you say, that deadline should be tomorrow, so we'll have to see whether you get that. Now, you are a former teacher, and I think that's worth reemphasizing so we understand where you're coming from. And you actually spoke, am I correct, with students from Mumford High School?
I am. Well, just to be clear, I'm a patent attorney by training.
Mm-hmm.
I am a biochemist and have taught chemistry
okay.
To students. And one of the things that they kept reiterating in committee as the reason behind the need for this expansion of EAA is that, well, by golly, we have to do something. And we have to do something for these kids. And so my question was, well, what do the kids say? You know, what do the kids think? During the time of the hearing, I got an extremely heartfelt email from a group of students at Mumford. And they wrote just a beautiful email and introduced themselves to me and said, please, we invite you and any other of your colleagues to come and talk to us. And I shared that with everyone on the committee. Me and one other of my colleagues went down to Mumford and spent about half a day with the students, listening to them and hearing their concerns. And I have to say, it was just, I got an earful. And
by the way, it was just two of you that came and followed up on that invitation?
Yes, at that time.
Okay. So
yep.
Tell me what the kids told you. What did you see when you were there talking? What did you hear?
Well, I asked them many of the same questions that the supporters of the bill used as a sort of evidence of the need for expansion. So one of the things I said was, one of the things that we're hearing is that the schools are safer now, and the kids just started like laughing, you know. Like, are you kidding me? And I said, no, that's what they're saying. They said, absolutely not. And then they started telling me stories of instances where they feel less safe, where they feel more threatened. I said, okay, well, one of the things that proponents are saying is that there's this student-centered learning environment, that every student gets to learn at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
This customized software package called Buzz. They said Buzz is a joke. They said it is demeaning. It is not challenging. We hate to use it. One little boy looked up at me and said, "Oh, one of the questions I asked was, do you like your school now? Do you like it better now, or did you like it better before?" And they said, we liked it better before. And I said, why? Tell me why. And one little boy, he said, look around this room. He said, do you see any books? And by golly, not a single book in the classroom. And he said, you know what? I really miss my books. He said, we have no books anymore. Kids said, we miss class discussions. Several of the students said, we come to class, we don't know who our teacher is going to be on any given day. Different teachers keep showing up. We don't have any continuity. It was heartbreaking.
What are they using in lieu of books?
Basically, when you hear the term student-centered learning, that's sort of the
buzz term, yep.
The buzz term that's thrown around. And the way it plays out in the EAA is each student is given a notebook computer.
All right.
And they walk the computer from class to class, okay? And at each class, they log in. So the module that one of the students walked me through, he was a 10th grade English student, and signed into Buzz. There's a menu of options, and he clicked on English 10. So the module pops up like a course syllabus of what you have to go through. So the one that he was on was Of Mice and Men.
All right.
And I turned to him, I said, oh, that's a great book. I said, I'd really like to read the book. And I said, well, you'll get to. I mean, how do you teach Of Mice and Men without reading the book? And he said, well, let me show you. And he started clicking through the plan, and by golly, not a single opportunity to be linked to the actual text. Instead, it was a series of almost like cartoons and pre-taped lectures of someone sort of face on the screen pops up, telling the students about Of Mice and Men.
So doing basically a recap.
Doing a recap, and I said to him, well, I said, surely, come on, there's going to be a place where you actually get to click and and read the book. And he said, well, no, actually, I can tell you that is not the case. And I said, well, okay, that's not great, but at least you can go to your school library and check out the book. And that's when he started laughing, and he said, you don't have a school library anymore. The books are gone.
What is the feasibility of the students who are living with this situation, the kinds of kids you spoke with? Could they not come and testify before the state Senate and tell their story to be on the record and be there, or is there some concern for the students doing that?
Well, you know, I had hoped that at least the chair in the House would at least recognize. I entered the letter that I received. I entered it into the record, but I was sort of hoping that the chair would make more of a note of it, or perhaps you know, maybe use some kind of Skype or something to allow the students to have their voices heard. That was not received. It wasn't.
Well, what about from the other way, Representative? What about students and parents who are in these schools and have these concerns? Why can they not come and be part of the hearings? And instead of waiting for instead of trying to work it from the chairman, bring them to Lansing. Could that not happen?
Well, what I can tell you is that when one teacher in an EAA school, she got signed permission slips from all of the parents of the students, and she wanted them to testify at a Detroit community meeting.
All right. Now
forget getting them to Lansing, but she just wanted to bring them to a group of concerned citizens that were convening a meeting at Mary Grove.
Yes.
And so she got signed permission slips from all of the students' parents and took them on a field trip to testify, to tell the community in their own words what was going on in their school. And when she got to school the next day, she was put on suspension.
Hmm. What are your ultimate concerns for the students in these EAA schools, or if it's expanded? What's your biggest fear for these students?
Well, my biggest fear is that, you know, having spoken to them, they know that they are not getting a quality education. You know, I had a number of students say to me, I may be poor, but I'm not stupid. At the very least, this is not a recipe for success. They should be able to have enriching class discussions. They should be able to have teachers that they can count on when they come to school the next day. It's going to be the same teacher that's going to be engaged. This is what they want. This is what makes for a quality education. To me, what I'm going to, what I'm going to keep fighting for, and it's not acceptable to say, well, you know, at least we're doing something. You know, I mean, if the something is worse than the problem that you were trying to solve, that's not a solution in my book.
So this story will be unfolding. We will follow up with you to see what kind of information you do get if you do receive it by your deadline tomorrow. I know we'll be talking again. State Democratic Representative Ellen Kogan Lipton of Huntington Woods, thank you so much for talking with us today on Stateside, Representative.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you're looking for more information about the Education Achievement Authority, the EAA, Michigan Radio's Sarah Swick has spent quite a lot of time investigating the EAA for Michigan Radio. In fact, Sarah was actually escorted right out of Detroit's Mumford High School on one of her reporting trips by the principal of the school, who is no longer actually at Mumford. You can find her series of reports online at michiganradio.org.